travel on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Ryanair. Nothing quite says I love you like a Ryanair gift card. The perfect gift for couples.
Ireland's Wild Atlantic Way is 10 years old this week. Happy birthday. Paula Kinnealy, Irish Independent travel editor, joins me now to look at how those three words transformed Irish tourism. Paula, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm grand. The birthday passed me by, I have to say. But there you go.
Paul Jarlin will be celebrating it down at Mehill in Killarney this week officially. It was launched 10 years ago by then Minister of State Michael Ring in April 2014. But in actual fact, the brainstorming and all that for it has its origins a few years before that.
The problem was recession, Irish tourism in the doldrums, nobody travelling, no money being made, businesses closing.
And it really was bad. And it's hard. In one sense, it's how far have we come? It's not that long ago, but it feels like an Ireland of another era. Enda Kenny was the Taoiseach. There was no such thing as TikTok on your phone. And 2011 was the year that President Obama and the Queen visited Ireland. But the mood was glum. The banks had been bailed out. You'll remember this well. Unemployment was over 14%. Budgets were really tight, but so the idea was to try and come up with a big tourism idea that would cut through in the international marketplace, that would sort of give people a bucket list idea to come to Ireland, and particularly the West Coast, because at the time the tourism season in some parts of the West was as short as 6 to 8 weeks long. It was a story of real sort of despair, you know, a lot of people leaving their communities.
The Wild Atlantic Way, the concept and the name come from?
So it began with, you know, the phrase success has many fathers, but it began, as far as I can trace it back, in Fáilte Ireland were brainstorming around an idea. They looked at the West Coast because it was struggling so much, and they were looking at a way to take in the coast in its totality. There were about 30 driving routes at the time, but only two of them crossed county boundaries, would you believe? So people weren't thinking of the West Coast in this way. So it looked at the West Coast, looked at a route, looked at things like South Africa's Garden Route or Australia's Great Ocean Road or Route 66. They came up with names like Atlantic Drive, Wild Atlantic Drive. I think even Wild Hibernian Way at one point was another idea. It needed to be long. It needed to be sort of of scale. It needed to be something that would cut through. The story goes, and I spoke to Sean Quinn, who was the then CEO himself recently. He went home to Donegal on a break from this and was doodling. And the three words came,
Wild Atlantic Way. And it just is so right.
And he brought it back to Aimeen Street, to the offices, and it just feels like everyone had that eureka moment. You know, in hindsight, it looks so simple, and you would say it's one of those moments, you know, when you're looking at a painting and you go, my 7-year-old could do that. But in actual fact, of course, to arrive at that simplicity, there's a huge lot of work goes on.
Now, when it was launched, I mean, it was launched with a whole barrage of signposts and discovery points and junctions. And this was important because if you took the Wild Atlantic Way, you had to know where you were going.
You had to know where you're going. And not only that, there was a 2-year period of mapping it out. It literally began with pencils and maps on a table. Then it was like, what road will work for this? And it was funny speaking to the people behind it, saying, well, two cars have to be able to pass, which seems like a pretty basic requirement. But when you look back at the route reports at the time, there's like literally dozens of pictures of boreens with grass tufts in the middle and people saying, would this work? It leads to a lovely viewpoint. And they had to go back and drive it and say, well, no, it won't work because two cars can't pass and so on. The route is 2,500 kilometres now. It goes from Malinhead to Kinsale, 960 junctions and 4,000 signposts along the way. And you know them now, the light blue sign with the WWW chevron, which in its way was, you know, not everyone was a fan of it at the time. But the logic behind it was it had to be simple, something simple that an international driver would grasp really quickly driving the route.
Just look for this sign and
follow. Yes, and it had to be a logo like any logo, like the Nike swoosh or whatever, that when you saw it, you knew what it was. And so it's funny looking back over the different examples that were tested and so on. But anyway, this is what was arrived on. And then there were 15 discovery points, and they are places like Keane Bay in County Mayo and Hornhead in County Donegal and so on, that have those rusty, some people describe them like gallows, with the W at the top. They're made of the rusty weathered material. They have the name of the point on the side. The idea is if you take your selfie or your picture, you remember where it was.
Now, how do we measure its success? I mean, how many more people visited any of these places than did in 2014?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think let's take 2019 as one kind of high watermark, because that was its last full season pre-COVID. By then, it had actually attracted 1 million more tourists than 2014, the year it was launched, and was sustaining about 80,000 jobs. It's you'll drive along it, and I was driving along through the Dooa Valley recently, and I was on Inishturk Island, and you'll notice, you know, you pass a food truck, or you might pass a little restaurant or gallery, and you remember that it's those small businesses that it helped to sustain and keep alive, as much as the big things like the Colmore Abbeys or the Cliffs of Moher of this world that arguably didn't need it. People started to think, and I was included. I grew up not far from, I remember as kids we used to go to Fanor Beach. But suddenly we were thinking about the West Coast as a much longer thing and somewhere to go back to as a domestic holidaymaker, and maybe not just go to one beach, but maybe do a section of it.
Yeah.
Some people did it all, but I think few.
Yeah.
2,500
But places long. Like Dingle, you know, Fungi alas passed on.
Yeah.
But Dingle has developed.
So interesting one that Fungi disappeared, as one local put it, in October 2020. 2020, absolutely one of the worst years in memory for tourism with COVID and that. Dingle, as you know, its whole economy had been built around Fungi to an extent. But a sign of, I suppose, how the route has helped it is that you have the off-season festivals like Other Voices, you have the distilleries, you have the Great Stays and so on. Dingle Sea Safari, I spoke to for a story we did in the Indo at the weekend, and they had very much began offering the dolphin tours, but they have kept going offering wider rib tours. They've added a fifth boat this year. They bring you out to the Blasket Islands. Okay, Fungi's not there, but you will see dolphins. Yeah, you may even see basking shark. You may see seals and even whales.
Well, it's a fantastic success story, in other words.
Yeah, looking back on it, I think, I mean, you'll always have people quibbling and people skeptics, but I think just the extent to which people got behind it and say, wow, it's such a simple idea. It was 10 million euro in the first instance.
My goodness, money well spent. Yeah. Absolutely. Paul O'Connella, travel editor with the Irish Independent, and thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.